The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wishes to reveal to him. Come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Sometimes when we spend a lot of time studying exegetes on the Gospels, we might overlook the radical simplicity of the message of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to touch on that for a few moments of homily. That first reading comes from Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the minor prophets and fits in there after the exile of the people of Israel, about the year 500. And he, 500 years before Christ, is the prophet who tells us that when the Messiah comes, he will come in utter simplicity, riding on an ass in the simplicity, not the warrior, not the conqueror, not the person of violence, of the triumphant one, but in simplicity he will come, and that will be God's revelation, and it appears in the gospel reading. There is a parallel in two places in Luke's gospel to the teaching of the text we have today from Matthew. You will remember in chapter 4 in the gospel of Luke, Jesus goes into the synagogue at Nazareth. And Luke tells us he's handed the prophet Elijah, a scroll of the prophet Elijah, and he reads from it, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to give sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted, and to set prisoners free." And then he said, "This word is fulfilled in your presence today." There's also one very interesting insight which comes in Luke chapter 18, and you will remember this. Two men go up to the temple to pray, and the religious one comes to the front, and he thanks God he's not like the rest of people, sinners, people who do all sorts of bad things, but he himself is very observant. At the back of the temple, there is another man who is a tax collector on the margins, and he said, "Be merciful, O Lord, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." And Jesus says, the sinner goes home more justified than the religious one. So when Jesus comes to preach, who listens to him? Who hears his word? With whom does he break bread? Who becomes his follower? The people on the margins, the sinners, the outcasts, the people who were judged by religion as unworthy, become the ones with whom he will break bread. And they are the ones who hear the word of Jesus. And so the text tells us that what is revealed to the little ones is hidden from the wise and the learned. So let me look at that for a few moments. And I'm given to confessional preaching, so I don't take my homilies out of somebody's book. They come out of my own human experience. So let me tell you what this meditation from Luke and from Matthew, and enriched by the prophet Zechariah, what this meant to me in my life. In 1973, I was working down at the Archdiocese with Cardinal Manning in 73. I was made a Monsignor. I was 33 years old. I thought I was very important. I was very important. I liked being important. My mother would have said, when she looked at people who had a sense of self-importance, she would say they had notions. It was a good euphemism. Well, I had notions when I was 33 years old. I thought I was very important. I was mixing with the important people in the church. We were going to Rome to see the Pope. We went to the White House. We did all that. And I had this sense of importance. I was very focused, worked hard, traveled extensively, and I was a voracious reader. This was a time after the Vatican Council, which finished in 1964 when I was ordained. So there was a lot of cutting-edge theology coming out. Karl Rahner, Hans Kuhn, Leonardo Boff, Gregory Baum. I was reading all this. Now, theologians inform you, but for me, they didn't inspire me. Inspiration comes from human experience. And while theologians will elevate your mind and enlighten you, for me, they didn't inspire me. I will have to have a human experience to inspire me. Then in 2 years later, 1975, I had an extraordinary blessing from the Lord. I became a directee under the direction of this holy Jesuit, John McAnulty. And that was the beginning of a spiritual journey for me that went on for 26 years. I saw this man every 3 weeks to look at my spiritual life. I did many retreats. Every year I did an 8-day retreat, and 3 times I did a 30-day retreat with this man, and he had a huge influence in my life. And the first thing he said to me was, the place in which you will meet the true God is in your brokenness, in your sinfulness, in your humanity, not in your applause or your angelic condition, or not in all the accolades or self-importance. You will not meet the true God there. You will meet the true God in your brokenness and your sinfulness, in your humanity. That's where you'll meet the true God. And that was the beginning of a spiritual journey that lasted a long time with this wonderful man until he died 26 years later. In the meantime, I come to Holy Family, and I meet your families, the people of this community. And remembering Mother Teresa's mantra, when she said, if a young woman comes to join my community to serve the poor, I'll send her home. But if she comes to join us to become poor and serve the poor, then we'll take her. You cannot hand it down. The gospel cannot be pejorative. And so I come to Holy Family, and I have to find God's presence in the people of this community. And in this community, I am inspired. The community forms me. I am inspired by the enduring faith of the people of this community who stay with a broken and sinful church. The sense of dedication, the sense of fidelity becomes very inspiring to me in a time when the church is going through great, great travails. I begin to take on the faith, the enduring faith of the people of this community. I am very influenced by the hunger of people in second marriages. Hunger for the Eucharist, hunger to belong. Where some voices in the church will say there isn't a place for them. Their sense of inner strength, the hunger for the Eucharist, which we presume so simply. We may overlook the miracle of the Eucharist, but the hunger of those struggling to belong to the Eucharistic table of the Lord, I belong to their hunger. I begin to belong to the pain of exclusion for LGBT people in our parish. Wonderful, faithful persons who are looking for a spiritual home and must find a hospitality and understanding, must find that they are an inspiration to us, not a burden. Taking on their pain, feeling what they feel, they inspire me. The gospel comes to life. That which is not revealed to the great ones is revealed through the little ones, the people we put on the margins. I become inspired by young people who are struggling to find their way in life, who doubt, who are searching for an experience of God, to reverence their search, to walk with them through their doubt, through their struggle, to belong to them in their searching. Their journey inspires me. So to belong to a people, a broken church, a sinful church, a struggling church, to experience the true God. And I begin to grow in this awareness for myself and in my proclamation of a compassionate God. A God who is infinite love. A God in whose heart and embrace each and every person has a place. This becomes my God, my human experience becomes the God where I find a place in the kingdom for myself. So being a sinner, being a broken person, being human, struggling to grow, to belong, to understand and experience a deeper sense of who God is, that's the journey of faith. I want you to think about that, because somewhere in your families, somewhere in your community, that's where we all live. And that's where God dwells. The Persian prophet Rumi had this to say: out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Amen.